This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
For now, let's talk to Me Semadi Mweti, because family matters. Families are complicated. Families are controversial. Families are emotional spaces to be. But family does matter. And it's important that family values things such as truth as much as it does peace. And often the person who walks that tightrope of reminding the family of its intrinsic values, built on whatever is an intrinsic truth in order to establish that very important peace and equilibrium, it's usually the great aunt or the great uncle. But today we're focusing on the great aunt, otherwise known as Rakgadi. And that name, Rakgadi, usually pertains or applies to the paternal aunt, the sister of the father. And Me Semadi Mweti has been crowned South Africa's great grand aunt. She's also the founder of the Rakgadi Foundation. Rakgadi Semadi, good morning.
Morning, Radu. Thank you very much for having me. Sorry I couldn't make it in person due to family crisis.
Oh, no.
But here we are.
Is anyway. All well?
No, nothing major, but yeah.
Okay. Well, we thank you for taking the time to be with us. And I have to say, you and I know each other on social media. We even encourage each other, but we've never met. And I really wanted this opportunity to meet you because, you know, we know how you've come into the public scene, and we'll remind South Africans later on. But you've really embraced that. You've embraced that South Africans say, if I had an aunt, this would be her.
Yeah.
You're laughing. So tell us a little bit about you. Who are you, Rakgadi Semadi Mweti, and what is the Rakgadi Foundation?
I am Semadi Mweti, as you said, and the foundation is all about just changing the narrative, because as you know, the Rakgadis have actually, unfortunately, been given a bad name, and other Rakgadis are not actually taking their roles as they are supposed to. So basically, what the foundation is trying to do is just bring us back to the basics, and remind us of the important role that a Rakgadi and a Malome play in our families. Because now we seem to have lost that, and we are, you know, with the new generations and going forward, we seem to lose the essence of who we are as African people.
What prompted you to start this foundation? What was the thing, that moment, that epiphany that said to you, we need this conversation in South Africa?
Well, as you already alluded to, the event that transpired, I just
it's fine. I'll remind South Africans about it in a short while. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So what actually reminded me was that the outburst or the reaction really brought to mind the fact that people have got a different connotation, different understanding, or they lack thereof of what a Rakgadi is.
So what is a Rakgadi?
So Rakgadi is your paternal aunt, who the family would actually go to for important events. And she is the one that actually helps the family, you know, in terms of the cultural things, and also just making sure that all the traditional aspects of the family are being followed. So that's who, you know, your family would go to. So the Rakgadi would be partnered with a Malome on your maternal side, you know, like Harulun Samahadi, or if there's any important family events. So basically, they are the custodian of you know, the cultural things, the family.
Okay, and the name itself tells us who Rakgadi is. Ra for a man. So Rakgadi, exactly. The sister to your father.
Father,
is
exactly.
Is she usually older than your father, or can she be anyone on that lineage, just as long as she's related to your father?
As long as she's related to your father's sister, she can be younger than your father.
Okay.
Yeah, she can be younger than your father. Like in my case, I am the only sister that my brothers have. I've got five brothers, by the way.
Wow.
So they all, I am a Rakhadi to all of their children.
Okay, and so you carry a lot of responsibility because the family issues come to you five times.
Oh, most deaf.
And some people would say, you know, yes, you have that blood link, right,
mm-hmm.
by nature. Mm-hmm. But that role and responsibility, nobody actually bestowed it on you as a Rakhadi. People just assume leadership roles in families without actually being appointed.
With a Rakhadi, it does not actually need an appointment. By virtue of you being part of that family, that is a role that is bestowed upon you. Whether you want it or you don't, mm-hmm. it is unfortunately the way it is.
And the same as a malume?
Same as malume, yes. You are a malume. You cannot say, I'm not a malume. For as long as your sister has borne children and whatever, you are a malume to those children.
And so when rakhadis and malumes are not consulted, so if I decided to go and get married again, and I just went to a court and got myself married, and I didn't inform my rakhadi or malume, have I committed a crime, an infraction in the family?
There are a number of things that would have prompted you to do that.
Mm.
But traditionally, you would have had, consulted with the family, your rakhadis, your malumes, and then they would have been part of the negotiations and stuff like that. But then, as I say, depending on what the family dynamics are, then you would actually just step out and just do it on your own and say, you know what, I'm not going to follow the traditional route or whatever. But traditionally, those are the two parties that you would have consulted with. And they would be the ones that would sit with whoever is asking your hand in marriage to, his family, their rakhadi, and the malume from his side of the family would actually sit down with us and, negotiate on your behalf.
What happens when bo rakhadi le bo malume mess it up for you? Like they say to a man, you can marry her, but the lobola, the bride wealth, is 150,000, and your beloved doesn't have that money, and the whole thing falls apart.
That's where the problem is, Lerato. You would have come to Rakhadi and Malume and said, listen, Temba or Jablani or Sipho wants to marry me, right? And this is his background. So we need to be, and bridal price does not actually need to be exorbitant. It is merely, it's symbolic. People have actually taken it out of context.
Mm.
So they've monetized it unnecessarily, when it's now losing the symbolism thereof. It's now like it's like makoti's now become a commodity when it shouldn't be. That is why we see the problems that we see happening around us, because now it's now sort of lost the true meaning thereof.
Okay, and so people are online have already started. Right, Kwana says, "Na kya motseba rakhadi semadi o strict o bogale o semadi." And then go to guy says, "Then munna wa rakhadi yena re mitsa mang and what's his role?"
Munna wa rakhadi ke rakhadi le yena ka Sesotho.
Oh.
O tla mitsa rakhadi, yes. And then mosadi wa malume ke mamalume.
And how much influence do they have over the family process, whether it's negotiations or conflict resolution or celebrations?
Munna wa rakhadi, not really. So rakhadi ke ena who steps in, because ke ena nanka your dad.
Yes.
Yeah, so this one becomes a rakhadi just by marriage, but he does not have a say in the Mbele family or whoever the family is.
So what you're saying also goes back to this issue on patriarchy in Africa is that, you know, we know that a lot of things happen on the male line. The children get given the father's surname. They're identified by the father's culture, clan, tribe, whatever. And yet this role that the aunt is playing, albeit again through the male line, really elevates the role of the woman, of the aunt.
Almost, yes, definitely. I mean, we can take it back to Shaka's times. Nandi played a very, very significant role in Shaka's life, and many other significant women have done the same. So women are very powerful. So, you know, it's just that unfortunately society has sort of tried to belittle or downplayed the significance or, you know, of the input yabomme in our homes and, you know, and families.
So let's go to the foundation. If people approach the Rakgadi Foundation, what kind of training, coaching are they going to get?
Primarily, the foundation is just to, one, to bring us back to the basics, as I said, just for us to have an understanding. What is the Rakgadi? What roles the Rakgadis play? And, you know, what they should and should not be doing, because as we know that there are certain Rakgadis that do things that they shouldn't be doing. And, you know, so it's just to try and help us understand the role of Rakgadi, one. And then two, also to help our young generation, you know, our girls and boys, because we tend to focus on building mentoring girl children. However, we forget to do the same with our boy child. So you have a girl child that is empowered, and yet the boy child cannot deal with this empowered girl child. So the foundation is actually looking to balance that equation.
And what do you do? Do you have courses? Do you have mentorship? How do people really sort of start to interrogate a lot of these issues you're bringing up?
We are actually in our infancy to Lerato, so I'm not going to claim that we have done a lot. But then that is the trajectory, that is the direction that we want to take, to make sure, because what we have seen is in the communities that we come from, we have seen there's been a lot of damage, so to speak, you know, that we see around us. So the foundation is actually trying to correct, you know, those,
And I think what you're saying, the momentum is building up. We were speaking to Love Life the other day. There's a Daddy Buddy organization. Many people are starting to say, can we bring young men and little boys into conversations around social and community development? Because a lot of the problems in South Africa, perpetrated by men, violence perpetrated by men, but we're not actually allowing boys a space to express themselves, to show their vulnerability, and to ask the questions about a world that is changing before their eyes that make them feel insecure and confused.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is actually, it speaks to exactly what the foundation did in February. We hosted a men's conference primarily to actually also try and address some of those issues that men tend to face.
Yeah. Emasculation. Okay, so here's the moment. Let me remind everybody who is Rakgadi. I hope you're ready. And I hope you're ready to talk about that moment, because it divided South Africa. But I think in the long term, everybody said, this is what's needed, the speaking truth to power. And that's why South Africans eventually christened you the nation's Rakgadi. So for context, Rakgadi Semadi was not known outside of her professional field, and her brother died. And when her brother died, there was a memorial service, and a lot of things were said at the memorial service. And in the TV reportage, you can see her sitting tense and uncomfortably in the memorial service. I guess her mind was wandering at that point, because what she was hearing and the truth that she knew didn't tally. And at the moment she took the mic, oh, it fell apart.
It turns out his wife had brought a man into the house. Please, don't you dare.
Okay.
And you dodged that bottle of water.
Yeah. what I actually, can I just put it a bit into context?
Yeah.
I actually happened to be the first speaker. So that moment you were talking about me sitting,
yeah,
I'd already spoken.
So you're just fed up, yes, when you're sitting there?
Yes, I'd already spoken. So I was the first speaker. And that last part that actually trended, that the part that trended was actually the last part of my speech.
So what prompted you at that moment, right? It's a memorial service. Yes, you know what you know. And you could have just walked away before that revelation.
Lerato, I am one person. I do not walk away from anything. I always speak my mind. And I've, even as a child, I've always spoken out. And wrong is wrong. And it does not really matter. So we just need to speak the truth. And it's just unfortunate that as a society, we do not, we always condone the wrong. We do not allow or encourage people to speak the truth.
How do you respond to people who say, okay, that may have been the truth, but couldn't you have a private family meeting? Did it have to come out at a memorial service?
You know, sometimes when you are standing and speaking,
yeah,
you are, like, as I say, that was the last part of the speech. You are talking about how you guys grew up and what happened and what.
Yeah.
And that part just, I just lost it. I just lost it and it just came out. It's not something that was like planned to say, oh, I'm going to now put Lerato on the spot and yeah, now let South Africa know yeah, who she really is and whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So
yeah,
it wasn't then, intentional. It was just your emotions took over at the time.
It's the emotions that took over at the time. And then, yes, you can say that, yes, you have to be emotionally intelligent and whatever. But who's to say that when you are hurting and also taking into account what my brother went through and that very last phone call that I had with him. It is a phone call that will forever, you know.
This is where he kind of, is this where he revealed to you the alleged affair that had hurt him?
Yeah.
Okay.
And And, you know, unfortunately, it is just one thing that you cannot erase, unfortunately. Yeah.
Can I just say, I'm a rakhadi too. I know exactly what you're saying. And that there is no proper way to grieve, especially when you've been bottling something up for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And I've been to a wedding, for instance, so not a funeral, where a lot of things were being said. And the rakhadi, who was not even on the program, had listened for a while as people were, you know, paying tribute to the mother who'd raised this boy and didn't acknowledge her brother at all. And at some point she said, I need to say something. And she came up singing and it all looked very, very orderly. And then she said, I think we're forgetting that there's two parents in this equation. I think we're forgetting the role my brother has played in providing a home, an education, opportunities for this young man, mentorship. I think we're not even acknowledging his wife, the stepmother of this child. I think we're not doing the right things at this umembe. So, and I think we need to correct that, because so much of this young man's formation becoming is credit to my brother. Oh, and the room just went silent. And I think it's those kinds of things where in African families, for the sake of peace, we're willing to look away, turn a blind eye, put things under the carpet, and it will be a rakhadi who sort of says, no, can we restore some modicum of decency and equilibrium here?
Yeah. And Lerato, you mentioned one thing, putting things under the carpet. You know, when you invariably throw stuff under the carpet, eventually it's going to rot and smell. So are you going to wait for that moment for it to rot and smell, or rather let's just iron things out while we have an opportunity and, you know, make sure that things, you know, are ironed out.
So Osimari, Khomotso would like to say something. Khomotso, good day.
Good day, good day. Thanks. I'm listening to the conversation. I'm thinking, Rakhadi's united. I love it, I love it. But I think for me, one of the things that I think is always undermined Haribu about how in our culture, in our African culture, we put so much reverence into what Rakhadi Lebongalun. I think we always look at just the negative part. But it's like such a beautiful thing. And I think also what also gets lost is Bomalume and Rakhadi forget that their title comes from the child, you know? Or Rakhadi, or Mamalume, or Mamakholu, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And what it does is you look at it like even in a as a picture, it's almost like as a child, you are the center of this bud and your parents have got these people to support. Not always to attack, but also to support. And the potential for good is so much more. Mm. But on it, I would like, you know, it would be good to have conversations like that, but also to look at the duties on other ways, because you're right. We need these people who can come in and speak to things. I've experienced it both ways. And I eventually had a meeting with my Bo Rakhadi and Bo Malume after my parents went through a long separation. And I said to them, I think you guys failed because on this mm-hmm. one, you failed to come and sit down with us, the children who give you your titles, to come and say, okay, this is happening, but we are okay. We can still fix it. You are still our children. And I think too many times, and I said this, my Rakhadi was quite upset with me. I said, I think you hold your relationship with your brother higher than your relationship to me. Because you are my father, my maternal father, but you're my father. But you forget that.
Ah, I love what you're saying, Khomotso.
Yeah.
And Osimadi, please respond. And I think underscore is the loyalties. Whose loyalties does Rakhadi actually have?
Ratu, can I just commend Khomotso for putting it beautifully? That Rakhadi, you are my father, irrespective. So you are not to have any loyalties or anything. You know, if your brother is in the wrong, call him out. If your sister-in-law is in the wrong, call him out, irrespective. I'll give you an example. When my mom passed away, I was 15 years of age. My Rakhadi stepped up to the plate. And so did my mother's siblings, right? And I never even felt, you know, like any other child, you will feel that your mother, by, you know, birth mother is not there, but the Rakhadis were there, you know? Simply because the Rakhadis knew what their role is. And never mind you, they did not have a good relationship with my mom. However, the fact that I am their brother's child, the fact that I'm one of their own, they actually put that aside and, you know, embraced us.
And to that point, Lucy Bani says, Lerato, we are constantly overwhelmed by notions of European patriarchy imposed on Africa. When will we be told about the African matriarchy? Let's not pretend this is not part of our heritage. The women who lead and keep it together. Me Semadi.
Because half the time our fathers, you know, in years gone by, would go to the mines, who would be running the home? Who would be leading, who would be mentoring the and guiding the children? It's the mothers. So the mothers have got a very, very, very important role to play in the family. So they need to be recognized as well, as much as we recognize the providing, you know, party, you know, and not underplay one over the other. They are just as equally important in a child's life.
Mesimadi, we have to leave our conversation there, but I have to say this. You're ending on a note of love, that what motivates a Rakhadi or a Malume is love. Loyalty to the family unit, not to their own sibling. And most importantly, what African families need is truth. The truth to be spoken where others are content to perpetuate lies. And on that one, I absolutely support you, because so many of our families are traumatized by the lies and the myths that people want to keep perpetuating. And we do need moments to speak truth to authority. So Didi Ntle says, Rakhadi, blessed with the best. She's been there with us since Papa passed away in 1995. My Rakhadi is our support structure. And we thank you for that role you played. And rightly so. South Africa says you are the nation's Rakhadi. Semadi Moeti, the founder of the Rakhadi Foundation.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.